Srinavati Tamastrama Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
You have a question.
What determines whether you get a animal body or you're sent to like hellish planets or subterranean planets?
They generally go together. Yeah. Generally you do hell, then animals, then back to wherever you were.
It sounds funny when you do hell. And
yeah, it's part of the program.
Yeah, exactly. So.
But sometimes if there's a specific thing, there may be just being in the animal species itself. It's a more mild thing. May just be animal species itself.
If you
itself.
Have a tendency, but that's not too much sin involved.
But whatever, it can be. But But the hellish regions, that's for the particular reaction to what you've done. Then the animal species match the mentality that you had that you did those activities. So for those animals, that activity is not sinful.
So, can you say that the hell is for the karma, animal is for the guna?
No, it's... maybe, but... It's that you go to hell for the reaction for whatever you've done wrong. Right? Then, because you preferred... You had a mentality to do those activities, so Krishna gives you an opportunity to be in a situation where those activities aren't wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
All right? Yeah. Does that make sense like that?
Yes.
Okay, verses 16 to 31, details of the subterranean heavenly planets. Okay, if it wasn't good enough before, then talk about what kind of marble they have on the floor, how many bathrooms per house, how many refrigerators in each room. Yeah, okay.
Didn't go through this 2 years ago.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Person goes to hell.
Right.
In the hellish planets.
Right.
He's not. He's
As opposed to going through hell here?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
But we're going to go there. And his mentality is not changed, so that's why he has to get an animal birth again?
No, because that's his preferred lifestyle. In other words, if you're performing these sinful activities, it's not actually what humans do. Animals do that. So actually, you prefer to be an animal. You may not actually understand that or know that, but that's what you're doing.
But you suffered already the reactions. Maybe you
generally what Dawn doesn't work like that. Like 98% or something of those in prison actually think they're not actually supposed to be there.
So what's the point of hell?
It's just justice, that's all. Because if you didn't have that, then there wouldn't be any semblance. It's just like, who do locks keep out?
Thieves.
Yeah, it means locks keep honest people honest.
Yeah. Okay.
So therefore, hell keeps people who could avoid it from going there.
So
the people who are going to go there are going to go there anyway.
Yeah. So it's important.
But it's just, you've done this, you should get this. Whether you learn anything from it or not, that's up to you. But the point is you've done something you should get. Right, so only if someone's come to the consciousness where they understand God, then they're in a different mentality. Because it's not about enjoying, so it's just bad habits and stuff like this. So therefore, there may be different reactions than standard for devotees.
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
Simply because they know what the higher purpose is. Yeah. But in Maya, even if you understand that you've done something wrong, you understand that you repent, you still get the reaction. But what the point is since you repented, the next life when you come back to there, then you'll continue nicely. So you continue in a pious way. But if you don't learn and don't think it's wrong, then you'll go down.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, just like, let's say someone is at a formal cello recital. They'd rather be outside in the out on the lawn running around yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So then if you take that kid outside and let him run around in that, then they'll think that's fine.
Yeah.
So if a human acts as a particular animal, then they get the animal body and they're particularly happy. That's what it's doing. So that's the difference. We understand that it's a hellish condition, but those with hellish mentality don't.
No. And then the actual hell of the punishment is basically for subhumans who are not devotees, so they can... Okay,
no, it's for anybody.
Yes, it's got...
It means for any non-devotee.
Okay.
You are pious, you'll get your reactions for that. You're sinful, you get reactions for that. So even if someone who's pious his whole life, there's one sinful thing, that one thing he'll get.
Yeah. But the point of it is that those who know about it then will be deterred from acting.
Yes, because you're educated, so you know what you'll get.
Yeah.
It's just like this. From what I understand, there's a little something. I don't know how much less, but some percentage less of people smoking cigarettes now than before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In the 50s, cigarettes were advertised by doctors.
Yeah.
They're good to lose weight.
Yeah,
you'd lose weight. You don't get hungry. You have energy. You know, like that. So it was considered really... So men, women, everybody smoked. Right? It was the cool thing, you know, to smoke. You know, and they had the little things, and they had the little boxes they kept them in, you know, and then you take out your cigarette and tamp it, you know, like this. And, you know, it's the whole thing. Your lighters, you know, all the different things. You know, the lady pulls out a cigarette, the man lights it, you know, the whole... It was all part of the scene, yeah. And it wasn't until the 60s that it started to be noticed that, well, maybe it's not so good for you. But, I think it was only until the 80s or 90s they started putting, you know, very small, what do you call it? Warnings. And now it's like half the box says, basically, this will kill you. Smoke and die. You know, it's kind of like that. So now there's a few less. So that's the point. If it's not made obvious, you know what's there, then people aren't going to do. But they have knowledge, you see, less are doing. But if that knowledge is not there, people just do whatever they want or whatever they feel like. So that's why the Vedic literatures are there. It explains everything. Right? It's just like this. We say there's a hell for pointing your finger and accusingly at somebody. Then you don't use your finger. You know, you'll use your hand or, you know, something. You understand? Because if I say, this guy here, that's not as bad as this guy here. You understand? That's very, because, you understand, it's different. So then you don't do that. You know what I'm saying? So that
seems harsh.
But
all hell just pointing.
The point is, yeah, we'll get to that. There's a whole chapter of that coming up, so you can just enjoy yourself when we get there. Okay. Yes.
I understand that when someone picks up the devotion and service, we can change our future, not me.
No, it's just fun. It's just that, yeah. So we can tell you that we can change our future, right?
But we cannot change the past, but we have that. So we
no, unless you go into the future, take one of those machines to go into the past, then redo the past, then come back into the future, come back into the present. Then yes, that's the only way you can do it. Yeah, but it doesn't seem to work out very good for people to do that. So I wouldn't try it. No, you can't do anything about the past. All you can do is correct the mentality of what we're doing. Or if something's right, then cultivate it. Like Prabhupada told Subhag Maharaj, because he's from a very aristocratic family. He says, don't forget the things your parents have taught you. Right? So all the culture and everything, the refinement says, don't forget that. You know, just because you're in the West with all the yahoos doesn't mean that now you forget all that. Yeah, okay. While giving more specific details on each of the seven subterranean heavenly planets, Srila Sukadeva Goswami briefly tells the story of Sutala's most famous resident, Bali Maharaj, who was able to gain the favor of the Supreme Lord by surrendering everything to him. Lord Vamadeva was so pleased with Bali Maharaj that he agreed to become his personal doorkeeper. Indeed, when the demon Ravana attempted to conquer the kingdom of Bali, Lord Vamadeva's kick sent him a distance of 80,000 miles away. Right? Still he doesn't learn. Right? Because it was so opulent, you know? Because he had more opulence than Indra. Mm-hmm. So then he came there to, you know, and then you can imagine Ravana, big guy, you know, really, really, you know, accomplished. Yeah. And this 5-year-old midget comes out and gives you a kick, right? And you go flying for 10,000 yojanas.
Yes.
Right, you know, yes. It definitely does something to your ego.
There must be some thoughts going through.
Yeah, you like that while you're flying. You know. Yeah. Yeah, it's like that. I think it's in Hari Vamsa. When it's talking about all the different appearances of Lord Nrisimhadev. One of them, he was so big. Right? You know, the one we have, then he's basically comparable size. So it's kind of, you know, a nice fight. This one, he's so big that he just picked him up by the nails and just with the flick of the wrist tossed him in the air. Right? So then he's going up and like that. And then, you know, he's just understanding. So while he's coming down, he's just offering his, you know, respects on his way down, right? You know, and then when he comes down, because he's so small, he just lands on the Lord's lap and they just cuts him in half. And then having cut him in half, then he wondered what happened to the demon. And so the Lord was worried, did the demon get away? And he can't find the demon, right? And like that, he's looking all over until finally he figures out he's under his nails. Because he's so big and the demon's so small, he's stuck under his nails, you know. Yeah. Yeah, so you have all kinds of different things going on. Yeah, so that's where Ravana could be flying through there and go, ooh. Okay, watch out for real short guys with umbrellas. Okay. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. My dear king, now I shall describe to you the lower planetary systems, one by one, beginning from Atala. In Atala, there is a demon, the son of Maya Dhanava, named Bala. Right, so there's because Maya Dhanava is on a few down. I think he's third from the bottom or something. But he's down there, one of them. So his son, Bala, who created 96 kinds of mystic power. Right, so they weren't happy with just the whatever is the standard. How many are there?
Eight
mystic cities. He had to have 69. Right? You know.
Solid.
Yeah. Like that. Some so-called yogis and swamis take advantage of this mystic power to cheat people even today. Simply by yawning, the demon Bala created three kinds of women, known as Svarini, Kamini, and Pumshchali. The Svaranis like to marry men from their own group. The Kaminis marry men from any group, and the Pumshchalis change husbands one after another. Yeah, so that's the fun part is you get all these things and you see that's what we're saying, all this goes on here. So if that's where someone, then, you know, they can end up down there. You know, like that. You know, how you say, the ladies here headed by Elizabeth Taylor,
yes.
You know, can all end up down there. Yeah, like that, yeah. Okay. Okay. If a man enters the planet of Atala, these women immediately capture him and induce him to drink an intoxicating beverage made from a drug known as Hataka, Cannabis Indica. So in other words, it's a kind of bomb. So, yeah. This intoxicant endows a man with great sexual prowess, of which the women take advantage for enjoyment. Right? So, you know, the men are thinking, this is great, but the women are just taking advantage of them.
Yes.
Like that. A woman will enchant him with attractive glances, intimate words, smiles of love, and then embraces. In this way, she induces him to enjoy sex with her to her full satisfaction. Because of his increased sexual power, the man thinks himself stronger than 10,000 elephants and considers himself most perfect, right? So he's also, you know, he just thinks he's very great and powerful, right? You know, so that's the whole, I'm special, I'm, you know, like that. Indeed, illusioned, intoxicated by false pride, he thinks himself God, ignoring impending death, right? So that's the whole thing, is there's no God consciousness, other than, you know, themselves as God. That, you know, that kind of God consciousness, they're cool with. But anything else,
how long do they live now?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think it didn't say yet. Not mentioned. The next plan. Okay, so like that. So is that real or canned? Couldn't tell. Okay. So the whole point is they get so and you see people here, they think they're so impressed with their sex life. You know, very proud, very, you know, like this. And so it's the same kind of mentality. So that kind of person ends up down here. You know, you say, oh, wow, that's great and all that. But the point is the mentality becomes so hellish that you're just so proud and you think that you're the supreme simply because, you know, you feel comfortable when you're having sex, right? So that's the difficulty, is that it creates these mentalities. So it may fulfill certain desires, but you can see as they're not human. Because human means it matches in. There's not, as you notice here, is there any relationship between the men and the women? No, it's simply based on sex. The women take advantage of, and the guy feels great. You know, that's the difference. The men take advantage of women here, they don't feel so good. There they take advantage, the guy feels great. So now who's better at illusion? Right? You know. Yeah. Sorry? It's the subterranean heavenly planet, so it has more material facility. But the point is, as you can see, is that it's not actually in the basis of the relationships and everything else. So the finer qualities of swargiya rasa is not really there. Just only the partiva rasa. So it's just that whatever we have here in partiva rasa are essential, they have more of it. But it's not necessarily, at least so far, that the swargiya rasa, the emotions and all that, increases.
Seems like Scandinavia.
How you say? If the shoe fits.
Yes.
Like that. You said it, not me. They are going there this summer, so I don't want to think. You're the guy who said, you know, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm there
for it. Okay, yeah, yeah. The next planet, Atala, is Vitala, wherein Lord Shiva, who is known as the master of gold mines, lives with his personal associates, the ghosts and similar living entities, right? Because it's antariksha, like that. So that's, you know, the ganas and all that will happily be there with him, right? Because you see that the they're on above, but they're also below. So probably depending upon the mentality. So that in the above place, that will be those of higher consciousness, and the down here will be probably the ones that are lower consciousness. But in any case, he's very kind to them all. Lord Shiva, as the progenitor, engages in sex with Bhavani, the progenitress, to produce living entities, and from the mixture of their vital fluid, the river named Hataki is generated, right? Because that was Hataka, so it has something to do with that. So there's some connection there. His potency is what gives this cannabis that kind of potency. Right? When fire, being made to blaze by the wind, drinks of this river and then sizzles and spits it out, it produces gold called Hataka. The demons who live on that planet with their wives decorate themselves with various ornaments made from that gold, and thus they live there very happily. In his purport to verse 17, Srila Prabhupada comments, Srila Sanatana Goswami states that when bell metal is treated with mercury, it can produce gold. He mentions this in regard to the initiation of low-class men to turn them into brahmanas. Sanatana Goswami said, Yata kanchanatam yati chamshyam rasa vidhanata tata diksha vidhanena dvijatam jayate nirinam. As one can transform kamsa or bell metal into gold by treating it with mercury, one can also turn a low-born man into a brahmana by initiating him properly into Vaishnava activities, right? So this is how we get involved, right? Because we're not exactly coming from these great, you know, how you say, traditional families, right? At least not on this side of the what do you call it, the Saraswati. Yeah. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is trying to turn malechas and yavanas into real brahmanas. Right, malechas just means meat eaters, and from that background, just addicted to sinful activities. Yavanas means those who are actually against the proper standards that regulate how you say, sinful activities. Does that make sense? So, therefore, if it's just a weakness in sinful activities and that, that's coming from the Malecha conditioning. If it's a matter of we're opposed to the Vedic version, don't see why and all this, that's coming from the Yavana aspect. So in either case, it's coming from the conditioning. And in the West, you have a nice mix, so it's not like before where, you know, you go, the Polindas, they were the Yavanas. You know, nowadays, they're all over the place. Okay. And by properly initiating them and stopping them from engaging in meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. In other words, these two groups, this is for them standard. Right? I think it was one god brother of Prabhupada was preaching, explained to some, you know, British aristocrat, you know, some baron or somebody, you know, some of stature, about, you know, what does it take to follow the Vaishnava religion? He mentioned the four great principles, and it was kind of like, what do? That's life.
Yes.
That's all they do. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, is it, you know, how could there be something else? It was just so bewildering to him.
Right? But,
that doesn't appear. No, it doesn't appear. No, yeah, not that day. You had to think about it a bit. Let the agyata sukriti improve a bit, you know, accumulate. Yes. As opposed to Mayapur Vasis, or
any kind of Vasi,
some Vasi, yeah. Yes, it's just like, okay, let's say you have somebody, you know, he likes Krishna consciousness, likes, you know, the chanting and the Rishad and all that, but doesn't like actually associating with devotees, doesn't like following the principles so much, doesn't like attending the programs, you know, in other words, doing what devotees do. But, you know, he's a devotee and done devotional service. So where can you get that opportunity where you can be just like what that mentality? Does that make sense? So in other words, you can be here and just be independent, do what you like, and, you know, not really get involved. Does that make sense? Like that. And that's if it's enough to keep you in human life, you know, like that. Otherwise, we have the dogs, they're here. So it's all there. But from those, they don't go, you know, down, or these other, it goes through that purified and then come back. Then they're liberated. So then they'll come back in a human position and in a proper situation.
So you become a Vishvasi or Mayapur Vasi by birth or behavior?
That's what you call Vasi and Nivasi. So Vasi means you're born here. Nivasi means you've come here and then you've made this your home. Like that. Does that make sense? So technically, once one's adjusted, you don't make any difference. But just so that one knows that it's not just by being born here, you can also, you know, commit yourself here. So in that way, then there's two. But once that's done, you don't make any distinction. One who stops these four principles of sinful activity and chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can certainly become a pure Brahmana through the process of bona fide initiation, as suggested by Srila Sanatana Goswami. So bona fide means coming in the line of parampara, so the chit potency is there. That's bona fide. Does that make sense? For the smart is, they'll follow the ritual perfectly, you know, better than us, but it doesn't have the chit potency, so it's not a bona fide initiation. So someone who has that initiation from a smarta, from a caste Goswami, then we do it's similar to what we do, so therefore you get re-initiation. You understand? Yeah. That's the principle.
Because it's not progressive.
Yeah, because in other words, that diksha aspect of the ritual needs to be done again because it wasn't actually done. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. But some will mention that if Guru falls in that practice, you again get the mantra of someone else. That means you're taking instruction from someone else. Because the point is, the diksha's been done. What's missing is that continuation of the Bhagavad. So that's by committing yourself to that person. So when it says that, it's not that the ritual is done. It means you have to commit yourself to somebody. You understand? Because otherwise, you just do the ritual again and still they don't commit themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like we said. Italy, they were saying, how you say, buy 10, get one free. Because they were just guru after guru after guru like that. It was just, they just, you know. So that, but the point is committing yourself to the person, because that's the real part of initiation. Because when Prabhupada said, when the devotees asked, what's this initiation? It says, considering the guru as good as God. And so they were shocked, because Prabhupada's always said the guru's not God. So as he said, good as. He's not, but he's the representative. So you take his instructions that seriously. So that's the part that's missing. Devotees get reinitiated, but do they commit themselves? Some do, some don't. Or they commit and then they give up. Then, so it's the commitment that's done. The ritual is already done. If it's done in a bona fide fashion, the bona fide it's done. What's necessary is a continuation of shiksha. So that's the whole point, is this process can turn malechas and yavanas into Brahmins. And we're not just saying, it means actual Brahmins, those who know Brahman. And then with time, naturally, then the qualities and all that will develop. Right? You perform the Brahminical activities, the character comes. For the materialists, they have to have the character, then only they can perform the activities. Right? But for the devotee, he can be qualified in a devotional platform, but he may not have the skills so much, and those will come with time. Yes, like that. Because the higher will include the lower, but the lower is dependent upon these higher. Yes. That means you haven't taken advantage. It means you're connected to the sampradaya because you've had the diksha. But the point is the cultivation or the nourishment of that is siksha. Right? Either from the original guru, from siksha gurus, or if that guru goes away from others, those siksha gurus or others, whatever it is. The point is it's that commitment that will make it dynamic. If you're not committed, then it'll be slow. You're connected. So that's the point. Once someone's taken a bona fide connection, you're connected. Right? Now it's just a matter of how well it goes. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes?
Sometimes it's thought that in each of the regulative principles there is like a range.
If there is a?
In each of the regulative principles there is like a range.
A range.
A range of what it means, what the regulative principle means.
It means like, what's it? It's a song, Down on the Range. Yeah. And so the devotees who are talking about the range are talking about the bottom end where, you know, you kind of got to look with the microscope on the bottom of your shoe and there it is. I knew it was there. According to the Varna, because if they want to talk Varna, why are they talking? Because if they're talking Varna that they can do sinful activities, they're automatically Shudras at best. So why are they talking? You know what I'm saying? If they're professing stuff, that's not their job. Dharma is to be professed by Brahmins. Brahmins were born to maintain the law. Kshatriyas were born to maintain the people. Vaishyas were born to maintain cows, and Shudras were born to assist. So if people are pontificating stuff, they're not supposed to be, because by Varna, if they're on that level, they're not supposed to be talking. Does that make sense? What does it mean, range? What do you mean by range of intoxication? It means like, what was it, Carter? You know, when they said, well, you know, in college and you smoke marijuana, and he says, I didn't inhale. Clinton. Yeah.
Chocolate.
What has chocolate got to do with the principles? When has that ever been part of the principles? Huh? How is it intoxication?
So good.
It just tastes so good. Because of sugar, that's
why. Oh, sugar. Sugar is the sinful.
No, because this combination, sugar and the chocolate, it's so good, so it's like an intoxication. But what the intoxicating part, as far as I understood, it's sugar, because, you know, it's running on sugar. The chocolate part isn't even tasty.
Something that's related very good. To caffeine.
Eggplant, potatoes, green peppers, tomatoes. Now, name me the good upstanding Westerner could live without those four. They're in the same family as deadly nightshade. So do we say they're going to kill you? just because they're related by some modern thing that they figured out. Well, that's kind of cream color, and the bricks over there got that yellow in it also, so your cheddar and those bricks are in the same family.
Actually, compared to many Western diets, they might save your life.
Your cheddar.
No, I'm talking about before.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that we're working on the regulations comes from the Vedic principle. They establish it. Right? So that's the point. It's that devotees told Prabhupada it has caffeine in it. So Prabhupada said don't eat it. But it doesn't have caffeine in it. There's 30 chemicals in that family. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem is that we make up our own religion. And that it's like, let's say, washing your feet after going to the bathroom, even though that was pushed so much, devotees will just drop that. But like after 50 years, they're still, you know, how you say, crusades about chocolate.
Yeah.
Does this make sense?
Yeah.
So that's not varying degrees. It's just chocolate's not part of that. Right? It means you have all the alcohol-based ones that Manu mentions, right? So that will mean then alcohol that's made from grains, alcohol that's made from fruits, and alcohol that's made from wine. Right? Does that make sense? So that basically covers all the things that people know. Hmm? Does that make sense? So that's there. Then we have smoking. Right? So that's always there. Because in the Vedic, they didn't smoke tobacco. They would take herbs that were good for digestion and smoke those. And you can't take more than 3 puffs. And you can't run them backwards through the nose. And there's all kinds of rules. You can only take them after you eat, after you go to the toilet, after your bath. So it's very regulated. And you have to smoke it through a hookah. Right? So it cools it so it doesn't ruin your lungs. But, you know, to keep all that together, devotees don't even bother. You know what I'm saying? So the tobacco is there, you know. And then all your other kind of, you know, ityadis, your how you say, opium, then into, what's the next one with the M?
Money.
No. After, you get the opium and then you get, what's the first one? You know, they give it for pain.
Morphine.
Then into that, because people got addicted to that, they made heroin to get them off of morphine, which it did. And then it keeps going. So these are the things. Chocolate's not one of them. You know what I'm saying? So we just don't take intoxication. The lowest end of all these, you could say, is coffee and tea. Right? That tea, that means the ones that have caffeine in it. Tea doesn't mean that you take some herbs, stick them in water, and now it's tea so you can't take it. Does that make sense? So that's not the big area. Meat eating, then how is there a range there?
My uncle, I was in Denmark for an Easter lunch, and he passed me the marinated herring, and I said, I'm a vegetarian, and he looked at me, but fish is not an animal.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's not a plant. And he was just looking at me, so that's no.
It says they could tell plankton, okay, but this, no. Seaweed, yes, great.
Borderline.
Yeah, well, if you're in Japan, then you're going to be eating a lot of that.
Yeah.
You understand? Gambling, so what's the range? $1, €1 lottery tickets instead of the $10 ones? Stock market's not gambling if you know the science.
If you don't,
it's gambling. In other words, if you lost the shirt off your back and you don't know why, it's gambling.
If the government is bailing you out.
Yeah. If you lost the money and you know why, then you just are more careful next time. It's a science. It's just like this. I go out, I see that, okay, devotees are into, off-white chudders with kind of somewhat black letters on it, okay? Right? So then I go out, get some of those, and I sell them in the market. But if nobody buys them, it was a gamble. But it's an educated gamble. Because it's the science, you know the science, and then you just have to be how good you are at figuring out what people want. Like one devotee was telling me, he goes with someone else and they would go buy stock for their store. You know, it's kind of like a, it's upbeat fashion, but not expensive. You know, so in other words, the cut, the look, the colors, the shape, everything like that's up to date, but it's not expensive stuff. You know, it's not made out of anything fancy. So they'll go to Hong Kong, where there is unlimited amounts of schlock. And they'll go in there and they'll go through the racks and then they'll just pull out stuff and then they take it down there and it sells because it is fashionable. So they can tell the difference. So that means they know the sign. So if someone else goes, oh, that looks nice, but nobody else thinks it does. So he's just not good at it, in a sense. The stock market's not gambling. You know what I'm saying? If you're looking in the magazines, financial magazines and that, and they say, oh, this stock is happening, and then you go buy it, you are gambling. Because when they say it's good, that means it's on its way down.
Yes.
You know? And because it's going down, the people that know are selling, and you're the one buying it. You understand? So it's very clear what Prabhupada gave, that's what it is. Okay. Now, illicit sex, now that's the one where you're dealing with range. You understand? But the point is what you have to understand is, what's the reason for these things is to restrict, to regulate. Because if you restrict and regulate, that's how you can actually lose one's attachment. So that's the whole problem, is if you don't regulate, you can't. I think it was like once Prabhupada came in and one devotee was smoking. And he told him, he says, you can only smoke 2 cigarettes a day. One after, you know, breakfast, one after lunch. He stopped smoking. You know, another devotee, when he says, you know, sex once a month, you know, for children. And the devotee said, once a month? That's nothing. What's the point? Prabhupada said, exactly. Like that. He said, you're smart. Right? You understand? So there's a range. Minimum is you're not having sex with anybody other than your spouse or partner, whatever they call it these days. And all it is actually a viable, you know, choice. Okay. Right? Up to one's only having sex if one wants to have children. And that's not something not being able to done. I know the devotees here, they've told me that when they got married, you know, about to get married, the last instructions of their mother, you know, on that topic before, says, I have 5 children. That means I was intimate with your father 5 times. She was making the point. You know, so they were from high-grade Brahmin families. So then, you know, for them that was just standard. You know, they don't take it as, oh, that's this and what about. No, that's just for them is normal. In other words, they came from cows, not from monkeys. So easier. A whole lot easier. You understand? So that's the one end. The other is don't do anything outside of who you're married to. You know, does that make sense? So there's a range, but in these others, it's pretty straightforward.
Except that you heard it, like, intoxication is also not sleep too much,
No. We don't need to do that. We simply have to chant our japa, do the activities. We don't have to create difficulties. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, engaging the senses in the Lord's service is what we do according to nature. Now, if it's according to nature, it means you're engaging the senses in ways that they are properly engageable, that you can get results. If you're doing a service you hate, you're not really focused, you're not inspired. Body, mind, and words aren't engaged. But some think that, no, if I do a service I hate, that's greater surrender. Okay, maybe on the principle that aspect of surrender, okay, but what about dynamic interacting with Krishna? What about pleasing Krishna? So in other words, it's just like I think one devotee or president asked Prabhupada, how do you find a cook for the temple? And he says, you find whoever likes to eat the most and make them the cook. Because they like eating, so they'll cook nice. And who are you cooking for? For Krishna. And then the devotees eat, it'll be great. Generally what happens nowadays, just stick anybody in who doesn't have excuse not to be in there. And so you end up with all kinds of weird stuff, a pot of dal and popcorn. And that, those are real menus. Sad, but real. And we're not talking about, somewhere in Uruguay. We're talking about, in good old, jolly old, the British Isles there. And then one time somebody had an idea, so we don't have to wash the pot after we pop the popcorn. They put it into those big black, plastic garbage bags. So what happens when you put hot popcorn in plastic?
Melts.
Yeah, it melts or it gets a smell, so all the popcorn tasted like plastic. This is people who hate to cook. So why are they cooking? This is against the guna and karma. Does this make sense? So the point is, it's really simple. We don't have to overdo it. Make it more tough, It's like, walk around in our hands because, walking on our feet is just too easy,
Let's say,
during
this range,
it's not a matter of standard. What is the standard for? See, in other words, this is the whole mistake that's made. It's not the standard that takes you back to Godhead. It's the consciousness that comes from following the standard. Don't mix the two examples. See, is the sincerity in, but they're then nice. But are they sticking to their own spouse? Yes or no? Then, point is are they trying to be Krishna conscious? Is that their main focus? You understand? If that is, then these things will go with time. But if it's those who are saying, it doesn't matter, and we can't be fanatic, and we have to be realistic, and says they have problems. You understand? They're on the short list for the heavenly planets. Right? You just want to make sure. The ones that don't follow the standards so well and rationalize that that's okay. Are there any? No, not really. We're just saying that just like Manu gives all the variety that's there. So
it's here.
Huh?
It's here.
Here means?
On Earth. They don't follow any.
Oh, we're just talking about Earth now. We're not talking about... Because we talked about how does people get into the different things. Does this make sense? Intent is the one thing, but the intent can't be that you're using devotional service to cover the other thing. No, that's what you're trying to do. And there may be problems, but you're trying to overcome that. So it means you're trying to regulate. You understand the value of the regulation. But if you don't understand, you don't think it's important, and then what's going to uplift you? Because your consciousness is not uplifting, and your situation is not uplifting. So then, how will it work? I mean, you have the association of devotees taking prasad, so definitely one makes advancement. But how dynamic is it? You know what I'm saying? So what we're saying is these things are important, but what we just do, we don't fanatically get involved in them. But at the same time, we don't reject. So it's not niyamagraha. We don't use that. So we don't go on to like that is, well, you know, it's got sugar in it, and so sugar, you know, makes you happy, so I shouldn't be happy because we're in the material world, so anything with sugar is Maya. So if anybody's eating sugar, those kids over there are in Maya, that means their parents are demons, you know, we should kick them out of the community, and, you know, like this. And, you know, I mean, but this is the way modern religious works. The Puritans and all that, all these, they were having problem in Europe, right? Because they were different than others religiously. They go to America for the, you know, land of the free, home of the brave, and all that kind of stuff. Then, if anybody's different from their community, they would hang them. Literally. I think Rhode Island was the only state, and it's the dinkiest state. You need a microscope to see Rhode Island on an American map. Right? It's so small. And that's the only state that allowed free religion, anything you wanted. Any variety of Christianity. But the others, if you weren't a particular denomination of Christianity, you were any other denomination, it was punishable by death. And that's the land of the free, home of the brave.
Right? Is it Maine that has on the license plate, live free or die?
Maybe I have no idea. I don't know. It's this way. You know what I'm saying? So this is the whole thing. We create these things. The Vedas don't create that. The Vedas make a structure that is to regulate so that you can be Krishna conscious. We take it that the secondary is the total thing, the total package. If I follow this, that's how I go back to Godhead. No, it's by trying to please Guru and Krishna, and you do that by following instruction. But it's not that you followed the rule and therefore that's it. That's what Jaimini says. Right? So that's the thing. We have to be very careful. The mood is most important. So rules are important, but the mood and you following them is even more. But that doesn't mean, okay, there's the mood throughout the rules. No, it's the combination of proper mood, proper following of rules. Because we saw the rules for us are quite simple. Because we just take the essential points. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Bhakti Nath Thakur in the Harinam Chintamani, he mentions different kind of gurus, and then he says that they are options, and then he gives the option, you know, from the Brahmin family, Grihastha, and then it's not available. Then.
Yes, yes.
And he gives the whole
yes,
list.
Yes, and so we're kind of on the bottom of the list, but... And we're on the bottom of the list, but
yeah,
you know, we get
so
wrong.
We're
on the list. Yeah.
So being on the bottom of the list, how much should we, you know, consider those points?
Because the point is it has to make the criterion of proper bona fide Vaishnav.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the main thing. So it may take generations for these others. Why? Because people do look at these external points. So then if you have someone from a practicing, you know, Brahmin family, and they're practicing and practice like that, then it's natural that their lifestyle and everything is going to be something people aren't going to find fault in. So that's why it makes it easier. Because in other words, if we have any mundane size, we won't be affected by them because they do everything mundanely properly. That's the idea. Because with us, it's like they got persons there and they do one thing wrong, bang, that's it, they're out, gone, out. It's not even like, you know, there's any problem. Maybe someone else saw it improperly or, they, you know, they just how they interpret it. I've seen. Devotees just reject their guru on something they thought happened. And then you find out later it didn't happen, but it's already too late. They're already gone and they've already gone through another two or three mots by that time. But, you know, hey. So that's for, because then those things, nothing goes wrong. You know, just like all the rules, what brahmacharis do, what grihasthas, vanaprasthas, sannyasis do. It's not that as a devotee you couldn't do anything, but the problem is if anything goes wrong, then people will make a comment. You know what I'm saying? Just like, okay, the sannyasi is sitting talking to the girl, right? Okay. But it's in a place where everybody can see. But if anybody can see it, oh, I could see them. They were sitting privately. No, but you're sitting in the open. Right? Now, if Grihastha's sitting there and talking with it, everybody will say, that's 100% fine. But Manu only talks about Grihastha's talking to someone who's not their wife, or not known, or not family, or not like that. If they're talking to someone else, that's not good. That will just write off because they're Grihastha. So that's the whole point, is that the same thing. If this person does, so if they're nice Grihastha Brahmins doing this, then they make comments, they get involved, they do things, then everybody is cool. Does that make sense? So that's why then they're recommended, only because of that and the stability and all those things. Because then you know that they'll be around, they're from a family that's like that. There's a better chance that they'll do things, you'll never get disappointed because of our own material conditioning. But as far as the spiritual potency, then there'll be no differences in that arrangement. Difference will be in Uttama, Madhyama, Neophyte. That's where you'll see a difference. It's just a matter of how much potency is flowing. You're connected, but it's just the volume that's flowing. So that's why the advantage of the institution, because you have the founder, so that's, you know, unlimited amount, so you can take advantage of that. And you have so many different devotees, so Siksha Guru, so that combination between Prabhupada as a Siksha Guru, then the other, you know, advanced Vaishnava is one's own guru, between that, then you'll get what you require, we can advance nicely. So even if in that there's neophytes, there's madhyamas, there's uttamas, it still works. That's the advantage of using the system we use. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay, Sukadeva Goswami continued. Below the planet Vitala is another planet, known as Sutala, where the great son of Maharaj Virochana, Bali Maharaj, Shiva's on that. So above was the son of Mayadhanava. Mayadhanava. Then there's Shiva. So that was Atala, then Vitala. No, Vitala. And now this is Sutala, where Bali Maharaj lives. Okay. Bali Maharaj, who is separated as the most pious king, resides even now. For the welfare of Indra, the king of heaven, Lord Vishnu appeared in the form of a dwarf brahmachari as the son of Aditi and tricked Bali Maharaj by begging for only 3 paces of land, but taking all the 3 worlds. Being very pleased with Bali Maharaj for giving all his possessions, the Lord returned his kingdom and made him richer than the opulent king Indra. Even now, Bali Maharaj engages in devotional service by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the planet of Sutala. And so it's not that one can't perform devotional service there, just generally people don't.
Citizens?
Not necessarily. Maybe those you can influence than that, but they're there for sense enjoyment. So.
But we said that once the kshatriyas, they always make everybody do whatever they do.
That's there, but at the same time you have those aspects of Varnashram here. While there, it's a little bit, they follow the basic principles, but it's a little looser, you know, because they're on vacation, right? Like that. So, yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments: the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Uttama Shloka, he who is worshipped by the best of selected Sanskrit verses. And his devotees, such as Bali Maharaj, are also worshipped by Punya Shloka, verses that increase one's piety. Bali Maharaj offered everything to the Lord, his wealth, his kingdom, and even his own body. Sarvatma Nivedhane Balihi. The Lord appeared before Bali Maharaj as a Brahmana beggar, and Bali Maharaj gave him everything he had. However, Bali Maharaj did not become poor. By donating all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became a successful devotee and got everything back again with blessings of the Lord. Right, so here is, what is the point of going through these ones, right? Is that we're coming from such backgrounds, and we can surrender to the Lord and get benefits. So then it's possible. If Bali Maharaj can do it, why can't we? Right? Like that. Similarly, those who give contributions to expand the activities of Krishna consciousness movement and to accomplish its objectives will never be losers. They will get their wealth back with the blessings of Lord Krishna. Right? So that means is if you give money away in charity, you'll get the same thing back. But if you give it to someone qualified, it'll be many times back. You give it to the Lord or the pure devotees, then it's unlimited. So that's what we see. He gave everything to Krishna sincerely. And he got back unlimited. So, but that's not why he does it, because that's just a side point. The real value is the devotion. On the other side, those who collect contributions on behalf of the International Society for Christian Consciousness should be very careful not to use even a farthing of the collection for any purpose other than the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Right? You have to be very careful how it's used. If you're collecting for the society, it has to be used in the society. Mm-hmm. Right? It has to be doing something that somehow or another is connecting it all to the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Like I was just reading, it was interesting. Prabhupada was talking, it was in... I think it's in TKG's diary. Prabhupada was talking about in Bombay, because they were just setting up Bombay and that, and they was going to have big halls and this and that, and they could rent them out, but then who would hire them are outside people, right, for marriages or programs or seminars and all that. But Prabhupada's point is they pay the money, they can have the hall do what they like, right, because it's an occupation, it's making money. This is not our place of sadhana and everything like that. But how is that able to be done? Because then he says, oh, then we can just do anything and make money. He says, no, that money is purely for the temple. If we do that for ourselves, we take on reactions for those people doing whatever they're doing. You understand?
It goes to the deities, I guess.
Yes, it's for the deities, for the preaching, it's for the temple. It's that, then that doesn't matter. But, you know, there's certain things, because you're just hiring that out. In other words, hiring out a hall is a bona fide, occupation. Yes, yeah, source of revenue. People do that. Right? Landlords, they get land, they get buildings, they hire them out. It makes money. Right? Selling fish out of your pukur, that's not bona fide. Even if you say, oh, the money will go to the deities. No, but that's not a bona fide occupation. That's what Krishna says, perform your duties. So within what's recommended. Because otherwise, oh, then we can hire out, we can do all kinds of nonsense. And says, no, but those aren't bona fide occupations. You understand? So that's the thing. Within the bona fide occupations, then you can do that on those things. But then it has to be for Krishna. If it's for yourself, then you have to take responsibility there. Does that make sense? Because they paid money and this, then there's some purification. But same time, it's going that way. You're getting, not the other way. Just like you go and buy something at a restaurant, you're paying money, so that purifies it. It still carries consciousness, but it doesn't carry karma. You understand? But if they give it to you for free, that carries karma. If it's cooked. If it's uncooked, then it's just a donation. So, yes?
In this sense, responsibility, you have to absorb the karma.
Yes, but if you're doing it for Krishna, then there's no problem.
Yeah, what Prabhupada's saying here, you collect for Krishna, but then you use it for yourself.
That's a problem. Like that. You're collecting for Krishna, and in part of because you're doing full-time service, you're taking care of with that money, that'll work. Better it goes to the temple and then someone else takes care of those things. So you don't have to worry about it, because then it makes it just easier. Right? But if you're the only one there, you're the... how you say, the temple president and the head bottle washer, then you have to do everything. But the point is then you have to see that you're always engaged in the Lord's service. Right? Then it works fine. Like that. Because then we're paraphernalia of the Lord. Like that. So that's the... Is that... Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear king, Bali Maharaj donated all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, but one should certainly not conclude that he achieved his great worldly opulence in Bilaswar as a result of his charitable disposition." Right? That would be the mistake, because others say, oh, I can do this for Krishna and then I should get so much back from it. No, it's because of the devotional service. It's because of the mood, the Lord being pleased. So it's not that karma. He did charity, therefore he got back. We only use in that connection because people are inclined to give in charity. They don't feel I lose. Right?
Yes.
Like that. "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of life for all living entities, live within everyone as the friendly supersoul, and under his direction a living entity enjoys or suffers in the material world. Greatly appreciating the transcendental qualities of the Lord, Bali Maharaj offered everything at his lotus feet. His purpose, however, was not to gain anything material, but to become a pure devotee. So that's the point. If you're doing all this surrender just to become a pure devotee, then you get all facility. That's what we're saying. You want the facility, it'll be according to your guna and karma. You just want to please Krishna, then you can have so much. Right? That's the point. If you want it, you can't have it. You don't want it, you can have it. It's just the way it works.
If you don't want it, it's fun. If you want it, it's frustrating.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's just fun. Yeah. Yes, that's what it comes down to. But the point is ultimately everybody does want to be, but it's just a matter of when. You know, is it right now, or is it, you know, this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, or, you know, the Hindus, yeah, when you get too old to do anything else, yeah, then, like that. So that's the idea. For a pure devotee, the door of the liberation is automatically opened. Right? So therefore, karma and jnana automatically gets. So there's no need of anything else. One should not think that Bali Maharaj was given so much material opulence merely because of his charity. Because the charity is a small thing. Krishna already owned the three worlds anyway. When one becomes a pure devotee in love, he may also be blessed with good material position by the will of the Supreme Lord. He may also be, or may not. Like Narad Muni, he doesn't have anything. Four Kumaras had less. Right? Because Narad Muni has a veena, right? And some clothes. Right? One set of clothes and a veena, right? The four Kumaras don't even have that. Right? So, you know.
They have their own sangha. They all together.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
no, they don't have to carry anything. That's always an advantage. So he may also be blessed with a good material position by the will of the Supreme Lord. However, one should not mistakenly think that the material opulence of a devotee is a result of his devotional service. It's a result of the Lord being pleased. That's how things work. You follow the rules of karma, then because you please the Lord by following the rules, you get the result of that rule. Not more, not less. But the devotee, because he practices devotional service, it's not the particular service and result from that. It's that you please the Lord, and then the Lord gives result. Now, it will generally tend to come through the medium of medium of work. Right? Does that make sense? You're cooking, you generally end up with something cooked, not that you end up with, you know, a new jacket or something. You know? Might work, right? Yeah. The real result of devotional service is the awakening of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the result. These other things just come because you use the medium, you get that. Right? You grate potatoes for Krishna, then you have a bunch of grated potatoes. But it's the devotion to Krishna that's the real, real advantage. That's the real development. Which continues, the real result of devotional service is the awakening of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which continues under all circumstances. So it doesn't matter what. Then you can see now it's something solid. No matter what happens, one's situated in devotional service. Then you can say, now this is the real result. Right? Now we'll get some result, and then certain situations aren't ideal, we get distracted, but when we find that doesn't matter what happens, we're fixed in devotional service, you can say, now that's the solid result. That's what we're trying to get. But it's not about just being fixed, it's about being absorbed in Krishna. Right? So we always have to see is that it's always about the primary. Even in dealing with the primary, it's about the primary within the primary. Right, Mother Jashoda is about her love for Krishna, not about her cooking.
Yes.
She cooks with love, so therefore there's no distinction. But it's about the love that makes us, not that she's, you know.
That's the thing with the note.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she was attending to her secondary form of service, and Krishna was upset because he was happy with the primary. If one who is embarrassed by hunger or who falls down or stumbles chants the holy name of the Lord even once, willingly or unwillingly, he is immediately freed from the reactions of his past deeds. Right? So it's just willingly, that's the whole point. That's the power of the name. But then by this process before of us making up our own religious processes, making it harder and harder and tougher and tougher, then that doesn't have any meaning. You know, it's just like we take that the principle. You have that thing of, what do you call it? I'm not sure what it's called, but basically Christians are into it. They'll take and they'll flog themselves and they'll really give themselves physical pain. Yeah. Because the material body, it's about sense gratification, so they have to punish the body rather than, no, the body's just to be engaged in the Lord's service. Does that make sense?
And Hindus also hang themselves like ropes to the human skin.
Oh, that's another thing. That's just to show that they don't care.
Oh.
You know, because they go into trance and all that, so it doesn't hurt and all that. The other one is just meant to hurt. It's meant to hurt. But this is that those are, it doesn't hurt, they don't even notice. You know, it's weird. It's tantric, and so it's not very high grade. It's low grade. It's all Shiva. I'm not sure because they seem to be regularly doing it. It's popular amongst the Tamils. No, like, you know, putting needles through their cheeks and all kinds of weirdo stuff. Like that. You know, so in other words, it comes from the mode of ignorance. Like, I think the American Indians also got into that when their whole environment fell apart and the Westerners took over. Then they got into this kind of tamasic kind of thing like that, and they would get into those kind of physical things like that. So you understand, so we don't make up these things because the body belongs to Krishna, so therefore we don't disturb it. So the point is the power of the holy name is such that if we take shelter of the name, whatever happens, right, he falls down, stumbles, embarrassed by hunger, whatever it is, he chants. And he's so hungry, and he's, oh, Krishna, you know, like this. Then he gets great benefit. Yeah, like that. Karmis entangled in material activities face many difficulties in the practice of mystic yoga and other endeavors to achieve that same freedom. They go to so much trouble. This guy just tripped and said the holy name, and he got all the benefits. While they're sitting there and literally standing on their head or something, you know. 19 to 20. In his commentary to verse 20, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. What to speak of offering the three worlds, or even offering a leaf or flower with devotion? Even Nama Bas destroys the bondage of karma, which cannot be removed by pious acts. Right? So, you know, we said, no, but he does, like, all it is someone does something wrong. All they have to do is, since they have to be situated nice, that they see devotional service as the important and take up the devotional service. That's the point. No, we think, no, they have to be punished. That will purify them. But we don't even have faith that they get purified. So it's that's the whole point, is that the devotional service is so special. But otherwise, how are we sitting here? Right? You know? That's. It is not easy to destroy the bondage of karma. Those desiring liberation, not those who piously give land, accept many means to destroy the bondage of karma by other means. They accept difficulties in Astanga Yoga and Shankhya to destroy bondage. Right, so they're working very hard, right? So karma doesn't even get rid of it, really. It's very difficult. Let alone those who are not doing that and are just trying for liberation by all the renunciation and everything. They have trouble. But Bali Maharaj, just by his surrender to the Lord, his devotion, then he got everything. Right? He's transcendentally situated, and he has more opulence than Indra. So it's the Lord's mercy. That's the real thing. So if we just surrender to the Lord, be dependent on the Lord for everything, and make our appropriate endeavor for our position, right? As service, then everything works nicely. Yes.
Do we know that before
surrendering
to the Lord, Bali Maharaj,
what type of devotee was? I don't know. Well, maybe when we get to there, it might describe, the acharyas might bring it up. Srila Prabhupada adds, right? So now what are we getting into here? We're getting into the mood of what's going on there, not into the detail, because the detail will come later. Because if you're hearing this, you'll want to hear more about it. right? It's the same with these subterranean heavenly planets, that it's the mood is what's the actual point. Srila Prabhupada adds, it is not a fact that one has to offer his material, it is not a fact that one has to offer his material possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be liberated before he can engage in devotional service, right? So it's not that you do that, so he's engaged in devotional service, therefore you engaged. Yes. Not that you have to do all these pious acts, then you can come to that. A devotee automatically attains liberation without separate endeavor. Bali Maharaj did not get back all his material possessions merely because of his charity to the Lord. One who becomes a devotee free from material desires and motives, regards all opportunities, both material and spiritual, as benedictions from the Lord. Right, so anything that comes up, an opportunity, it's the Lord's grace. And in this way, a service to the Lord is never hampered. Because whatever happens, it's nice, not nice, it's there's impediments, there's no impediments, it's just by the Lord's grace, somehow or another. It's, Bhukti, material enjoyment, and mukti, liberation, are only byproducts of devotional service. Devotee need not work separately to attain mukti. Srila Bilva Mangal Thakur said, mukti swayam mukul itang jali, sevati sman. A pure devotee of the Lord does not have to endeavor separately for mukti, because mukti is always ready to serve him. In this regard, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antyalila 3, 177 to 188, describes Haridas Thakur's confirmation of the effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Quote, some say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from all the reactions of sinful life. And others say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one attains liberation from material bondage. Haridas Thakur, however, said that the desired result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is not that one is liberated from material bondage or freed from the reaction of sinful life. The actual result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is that one awakens his dormant Krishna consciousness, his loving service to the Lord. That's the real point we want to get from anything. Right? So if that's developing, we're losing interest in the material world by through having the proper knowledge. So that knowledge of detachment is coming. We're seeing that's the benefit, is that we're giving this up, and we're becoming, I'd say, attracted to Krishna, like that. So in other words, these things will come as side effects. Knowledge and depth. So we know where something's going on. Otherwise, but the real point is our attraction to Krishna, the taste for our devotional service, you know, appreciation of devotional service, our liking of devotional service.
But it also goes the other way, doesn't it? That if you have some knowledge and renunciation, it becomes easier to appreciate the value.
That's there, but that's coming from bhakti. Bhakti creates it for supporting bhakti. Not that creates bhakti. That's the problem. Oh, it's not a fact that one has to. So it's not that you have to surrender and give up everything. Only then you can take up devotional service. Devotional service is independent.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes we say that, like, if someone asks, how do I get taste? I don't feel any taste. No, you develop some knowledge and you try to regulate your lifestyle, and then it becomes easier. So in that way,
that's there. Yeah. The other way is sit down in front of a bucket of halva with a spoon.
That's my favorite way.
That definitely has taste, as long as it got who cooked it.
Buckets of taste.
That's buckets of taste. I like that. I could just see higher taste. Yes, the higher taste. Buckets of higher taste.
That's my book right there.
Yeah. That's it. Buckets of higher taste. Haridas Thakur said that liberation and freedom from reactions of sinful activities are only byproducts of chanting the holy name of the Lord. If one chants the holy name of the Lord purely, he attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So purely means we want that. Not necessarily we're chanting on that platform. See, there's a difference here. This is important, because now that we're getting into these subtleties, is that we want to be able to practice pure devotional service. Not that we are practicing. Mm-hmm. Yes. If that's the sincere desire, you get that result. Yes. Even though it's not. But the point is because of these other things, you know, then our sincerity isn't as developed as it will be in time. Mm-hmm. But we're getting the result for that.
because this is risky. If we get this point too soon, we may not actually end it.
That's why you have to be able to understand there's a difference here. Because we take it, no, if he's doing this, how can he be pure? That we saw, that was last canto. No, the point is it's not a Krishna consciousness and the conditioning are two different things. One's sincerity to be situated in Krishna consciousness, that's the main point. Then how well he engaged the conditioning, that will naturally follow. Like that. You know, it's like when you move in a boat, do you have to, hire special guys to sit in the back to make those waves that go out the back? They just come anyway. Yeah. So it sounds. Yeah. So you do devotional service, knowledge, detachment, the skill, everything, it all comes anyway. In this regard, Haridas Thakur gave an example comparing the power of the holy name to the sunshine. He placed a verse before all the learned scholars present, but the learned scholars asked him to state the purport of the verse. Haridas Thakur said that as the sun begins to rise, it dissipates the darkness of night even before the sunshine is visible. Right? The sun isn't even up yet and already it's dissipated. So that means in Nama Bas already ignorance is being dissipated. Right? Yeah. Before the sunrise even takes place, the light of dawn destroys the fear of the dangers of the night, such as the disturbances by thieves, ghosts, and rakshasas. And when the sunshine actually appears, one engages in his duties. So then naturally, even before, so then you engage in bhajana kriya. It's already happening, right? But before that, already, it's already cleared the path that Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha has taken place. Similarly, even before one's chanting of the holy name is pure, one is freed from all sinful reactions. And when he chants purely, he becomes a lover of Krishna. Yes.
Why is this here?
Why shouldn't it be here?
Because it's about some heavenly planet. It prepares us for the sixth canto, this whole talk.
Probably you could say each canto prepares you for the next. Yeah, you could say. But the thing is that we have to be able to distinguish these things, because right here, you know, as soon as we bring up sinful activities, you see it's another one of those, you know, we're going along, you know, racing along, and then suddenly, boop, yeah, here we go. Right, we get stuck. So when we get to Ajamil, that's going to raise a lot of things. You know, how is this rat bag can, you know, end up on the platform of Nishta? You know?
Yeah.
You know, like that. You understand? So that's going to be the problem, because if we've already thrown out, liberation, okay, dharma and that, and we can make the distinction and all that, we're there, it's logical and all that. But then the delicate points, the tender points are pranamoy and anamoy, right? No, but why is he enjoying, you know, like that? He's not supposed to enjoy, you know.
He's having kids 88
years old. Yeah, yeah. And what kids? Sons. He's strong. Like that. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so basically, it's just we're getting more and more subtleties that we're seeing there. Because otherwise, we'll say Bali Maharaj, we will think that, okay, he gave him charity to the Lord, see how much he got, and so therefore, then we get into that, kind of get distracted by the facilities of the subterranean heavenly planets. Right? No? Yeah. Okay. But the point is, it's about pleasing the Lord. That's how he got everything. So it's not about the subterranean heavenly planets. Yes, we're back to square one. We're back to, you know, here and now.
At least we didn't move backwards.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yes, yes.
It's interesting, while reading those verses and purports, then we can understand that some religions, what they say is going to be heaven. You know, that's exactly what it is. No anxiety, everything happens, a lot of enjoyment, women, men, yeah. No disease, no old age.
Talking lions.
Yeah. So this is where
this is what they're talking about.
Yeah, apparently many people go there because it's their goal if they do have the piety.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because it's not necessarily about God. It's just that I'm a good person,
no.
I should go to hell. He was a nice kid, you know, they were a nice person, so of course they went to heaven, and, you know, that kind of thing. But yes, it's a very, 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 very good point.
Not even...
Because it doesn't, they don't even talk about day and night. No, because Swarga, they don't talk about that because they have rules, they have, not so much rules, but they have duties, they have positions, they have, but down here it's just, you know, I say, green embroidered couches and you know, yeah.
So
these guys, these are Atala Wallas, right? You know,
Las Vegas, the lights on all the time.
Las Vegas.
You don't have day and night.
Vegas. Okay. I say, Las Talas or
Las Talas.
Huh? Vegatala, yes. Vegatala, yes.
What happens in...
Like that, you know, like the ones, you know, marrying so many people and, you know, going through. That's
yeah.
Or is it the little chapel or whatever? The little white chapel. There's something there. It's a little dinky little place and everyone goes there when they're totally drunk. And
I think there are many of these places. Like, there's a drive-through chapel.
Oh, drive-through?
Yeah, you can just come in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. Do you also get, you know, a milkshake and a side of fries? You know, it should be something, right? You know? True. Okay. Yes, that's a very good point. Because they don't talk about day, night, this, that, just God's there and they just, you know, somehow or another has enough, you know, movement that, you know, he moves his finger this side or that side, and that's about it, you know. Then after that, it's, you know, you walk through the gate and it's Hari Bol. They say, party time. Okay. A devotee never accepts mukti even if Krishna offers it. Mukti, freedom from all sinful reactions, is obtained even by Namabhas, or a glimpse of the light of the holy name before its full light is perfectly visible. So just being liberated is enough. We can say, oh, but what's wrong with being liberated? But the point is then, where's Krishna in it? Just like we don't accept material facilities without connecting to Krishna, where's the liberation connected to Krishna? So what's the point of liberation? Because if it's facilities on its own without Krishna, then we call it sense gratification. Right? If it's liberation on its own without Krishna, then it's called mukti. It's not that the transcendental position is not accepted, but it's not accepted on its own. It's only it comes along with devotional service. Right? So in other words, we're starting to break so we know exactly what we're looking for. Otherwise, we kind of work in ballpark kind of devotional definitions, right? But here we're getting very exact, that it's just simply that affection for the Lord himself is a person. And therefore, he is a person, has friends and everybody, and so therefore, it all works there. Right? So that's exactly what we're looking for. And these other things don't matter. Yeah, except the connection, but that's there anyway, because the Lord's energy, Yogamaya, is going to arrange that anyway. Because that's the point of not being disturbed by obstacles, because whatever Krishna wants, then those things are arranged. Right? Means Jamuna is a river, right? But for the pastimes, there are some lakes within the river. Because if there's not lakes in the river, where is Kaliya going to hang out? If there's no Kaliya hanging out, how do you have that pastime? Right? That, you know, so like that. So then it appears to be obstacles, but for them, they just remember and serve Krishna in those situations, so it's not a problem. The Namabhas stage is between that of Namaparad, or chanting the holy name with offenses, and pure chanting. There are three stages in chanting of the holy name of the Lord. In the first stage, one commits 10 kinds of offenses while chanting. In the next stage, Namabhas, the offenses have almost stopped. and one is coming to the platform of pure chanting. In the third stage, when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses, his dormant love for Krishna immediately awakens. This is perfection. Right? So,
Perfect. This is perfection.
Okay. Okay. Right. So we see is that we also have to get used to is that then we'll take, okay, see here is that there's the first stage and all that. So the guy who's just walking along trips and says the holy name, then you know, this is in the offensive stage. But what if he's not thinking of any material benefit? He's just remembers the Lord. Like that. That's Nama Bhas. Because it's not done in devotion, in love, but it's not done in offense. Right? So that's the thing. This Nama Bhas is also then an interesting stage. Because that's where it basically says it clears and there's no. It means before the sun comes up, how much light it is practically as light as when the sun comes up. Right? Yes.
So there's a big discussion going on between the devotees, what kind of name as neophytes do we chant? Because some say, according to this description, it's Nama Parat. And some say it's Nama Bhas, because our goal is to chant the pure name. So how can we reconcile?
Why can't it be, depending on mentality, be one or the other?
Means sometimes this, sometimes
yeah.
That.
Yeah, that's the meaning of neophyte, they're not stable. So the idea is that Madhyama, it should be stable, so it's definitely Nama Bhas. Right? I'm fixed. Okay, it's one way of looking at it. I guess it's one kind of perfection, but... But the point is just you define what's Nama Bhas and what's Nama Parad. Nama Parad means you think that you don't consider the position of devotees very advanced.
The name serves you.
Right?
The name serves you.
Yeah, like that. Or you don't respect the spiritual master, you think it's exaggeration, like this. You say, oh, how can a neophyte be on this platform? That is the sixth offense. Think it's exaggeration.
Yeah.
Like that. You know what I'm saying? Or karmakanda, but we have to do all these nice things, otherwise, devotional service won't go nicely and all that. That's the eighth offense. Right? Inattentive, that's pretty standard. And maintaining material attachment. No, but community, we're not fanatic, or this and that, that's tenth offense. So if they're doing that, it's offensive chanting. They're not doing that. They're trying to chant nicely, please Krishna, though they may not be doing a great job of it. That's Nama Bhas. Or just chanting without aparad, that's Nama Bhas. So we may be intentionally chanting Nama Bhas or unintentionally chanting Nama Bhas, but Nama Bhas means it's free from consciously those aparads. So it's just, we should know those. That's why we say the 10 offenses, so that we know, but we should be discussing what is the offenses. Does that make sense? Putting the spiritual master as an ordinary person. These kind of things, these are there. So we can't say the one and then talk the other. So it's a package, it goes together. So the name is special, the devotees are special, the scriptures are special, devotional service is special. So that it depends on your mentality. Today they may be doing more Nama Bhas, tomorrow maybe more Nama Parad, or from moment to moment. What I'm saying? So like that. The person sitting there chanting, not paying attention, thinking of all kinds of things. It may be inattentive chanting. But then at the same time is then, the curtains open and then they go, Hari Bo, and it's Nama Bhas. So it depends on the situation. It's not that it's this or that, or we always that's the thing. We have to have these boxes, but
because then it's easy to operate.
Yes, but the point is no. These boxes are mentalities. Now, how are you going to use it? It's not that it's only this box or only that box. is that it depends upon which box you use it. Okay. In the third stage, when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses, his dormant love for Krishna immediately awakens. This is the perfection. So if we can come like that point, then we're chanting in that pure state. Then very quickly we come to perfection. And then for perfection, then we come to praying. So, yeah.
Pretty good.
Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaurapandana.